As we prepare to celebrate the Advent season from next Sunday, I wished on this Sunday to preach about the theme of truth. Much will be said about Jesus Christ. Much will be said over the Advent season about who he is and why he came. But very seldom we might hear about the reality and the truth that he really is. The story is told of a group of lady churchgoers who used to get together at a local coffee shop for a chat. And on one occasion, their conversation turned to sharing their faith with others. Most of the group was sharing their experiences, both successes and failures. But there was one of the members of the group who was very quiet, and her name was Linda. And by the way, this is not a story from this congregation, so please rest assured, if your name is Linda, it's not you I'm talking about. But then during a break in the conversation, Linda said, and I quote, "I don't share my faith the same way you do. I know that Christianity is true for me, but that doesn't mean it has to be true for everyone else." End of quote. Now this, if you ask me, is a very common viewpoint in our society today. And I think it reveals a common lie about the nature of truth. In fact, ask anyone today, what is truth? And you are likely to start an interesting conversation. Try it in any college, or try it at a university campus or a classroom. Try it in any political or governmental establishment. Or try it in the workplace or within your neighborhood, or even among your family members, even in the ordinary day-to-day public square, in the shops, or whatever, or dare say, try it even in many churches. And the likelihood is that you will receive not just laughter, scorn, and even derision, but also, dare say, even unpleasant treatment. So let's ask again the question, what is truth? Or more importantly, does absolute truth exist? The question is often asked by many today. We live, you see, in a generation that denies, please underline that, denies such notion of truth. The only absolute seems to be that there are no absolutes, and the only truth that there is no truth at all. These statements are not theoretical or speculative, but sadly they represent a mindset of a very postmodern world like ours. We commonly hear people say, "You have your truth, and I have my truth." And in the contemporary marketplace of ideas, personal opinions, and gross pragmatism, these are the currency that buys and sells. And the blatant rejection of absolute truth is nothing new. In fact, it can be traced many centuries back. We hear it, its denial echo through the corridors of time, all the way back to the very life and ministry of our Lord Jesus Christ. Indeed, this morning our reading reminds us of this. This most profound and eternally significant of questions in the Bible was posed by none other by an unbeliever, Pontius Pilate, the man who handed Jesus over to be crucified. The Bible says that the night before his crucifixion, Jesus stood trial before Pontius Pilate and engaged on a one-to-one conversation in which Pilate's own denunciation of truth was clearly revealed. I find it very interesting. On that occasion, Jesus stood there to be condemned in judgment. One day, my friends, it will be Pilate who will stand in judgment before Christ, and he will be condemned to eternal damnation. It's ironic, isn't it? But on this occasion, it was Jesus who stood there with him. Pilate had heard Jesus speak of his kingdom and proclaim that he was a king. But upon Jesus' declaration that everyone who was of the truth would hear his voice, Pilate skeptically, cynically responded, "And what is truth?" This, my friends, is the age-old question, isn't it? That was voiced by Pilate as they stood face to face before the one who claimed to be the truth. "I am the way, the truth, and the life." Who said that? Jesus himself. But my friends, that question that Pilate asked of Jesus was not an honest question. It was raised by one who was searching to basically not the truth. He was not interested in the truth. Rather, it was a defiant denial that there is any such thing as truth. Pilate's statement was spoken with utter contempt, a dismissive reproach dripping with sarcasm. And this denial was intended to belittle the speculation of any truth claim in the world. Spoken with a harsh tone of derision, this pushback was a barbed poke by Pilate at the Lord Jesus Christ. He wanted to belittle him. "Do you claim to be the truth? Tell me, what is truth?" And so this fundamental question has reverberated down through the centuries and has continued to grow louder and louder into this very present hour. And with increasing volume, we heard the repeated mantra, "What is truth?" The spirit of Pilate, my friends, lives stronger today than ever before. Indeed, this unbelief is alive and well on colleges and universities. It reigns in the halls of government. It legislates our public morality. What is right and what is wrong? What is wrong has become right, and what is right has become wrong. It reigns in our medias, the BBC, Sky, you name it, they are all at it. It teaches in main educational establishments and stands in numerous pulpits. Yes, pulpits. Men of the cloth, women of ministry have been told to preach the word of God, and very often we don't hear such a thing. We hear what appeases the masses, but not the truth. Oh no, we don't want to upset people. We want to hear. We want to give them what they need to hear. What they want to hear. That is. And we live in a culture that is relentlessly defiant of any thought of exclusive truth. In fact, our society not only questions this reality, but it has become vehemently anti-truth. We are tolerant of anyone and anything except one who claims to know about absolute truth. If I go out as I do and I speak to people about my faith, and I speak to them about Jesus, and I tell them about him and how he is the truth, and how there is no peace in life, no future, nothing of eternal significance apart from him, I get scorned at. I get ignored. I get even pushed around. I get even angry comments. I can cope with that, by the way. I have not a problem. I know in whom I have believed, and I am persuaded that He will be there with me at the end. I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. He is the truth, the only truth. But this confrontation begins with Pilate's emphatic rejection of that truth. It progresses to Jesus' affirmation of the reality of truth, and it culminates with Jesus' assertion of the reign of truth. Should we be surprised about this? Not at all. Because there is such a thing of rejection of the truth from the very beginning of time. In uttering the words, "What is truth?" Pilate issued an unequivocal rejection of the existence of ultimate truth. And this disregard of the truth is as grave a sin as it is ancient. Let us go back to the book of Genesis, the very beginning of the Bible. We see it from the beginning of creation, when Satan the serpent first slithered into the pages of human history and launched his original temptation to reject the truth. And I quote, this is what he said to Eve. "Did God say, 'You shall not eat of any tree in the garden?'" And then second words on his lips were a subtle falsehood. "You will not die." No wonder the gospel says that Satan has nothing to do with the truth, because there is no truth in him. It's all lies. We are dealing with the essence of falsehood and deception. And this was his attempt to create a world in which the rejection of truth would run rampant. And we are living on such a time, even now. And so the rejection of truth is where sin began, and it continues to this very day. No wonder the Apostle Paul warns us in the book of Romans, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men, who by their unrighteousness suppress the truth." Furthermore, he went on to say, "They exchanged the truth about God for a lie and worshiped and served the creature rather than the Creator." No wonder a recent philosopher said that we are raising a generation of moral stutterers. Others call it moral illiterates. And yet another observes that there is a hole in our moral ozone. In other words, what is truth? Do you know the truth? Can you believe any truth? And so, in order to appease and silence the conscience, we have created a multitude of myths and lies. Let me give you an example of few. Sin, we are told, is a disease, is the result of our environment. It is in our genes. It is all genetic. All of our problems are somebody else's fault. We never have to take responsibility for our behavior. Blame such and such. They'll pay for it because they are to blame, not you. We have never had to take responsibility for our behavior. Guilt is rather detrimental to humans, so there is never any reason to feel guilty. There is nothing to apologize, nothing to be forgiven about. We always be happy if we always get whatever we want. All religious people are going to heaven just by a different means. In other words, everybody will end up in the same place regardless whether you believe in Jesus or not. The answer to man's problem is within himself, not in religion. Religion is only a crutch for the ignorant and the clergy. Are you trying to fool me? Are these people speaking the truth? Thus the Pandora box has been opened and the lid has been thrown away. And since we have no way of closing the box again, we have no answers, no solutions to the inevitable consequences currently being experienced and for many generations to come. Ask a politician, can you give me the answer to the ills of today? They might give you an opinion, but is that it? And this abandonment of moral values can be traced back to the rejection of the truth. And so now we are having this situation where truth has been disregarded. And yet, ironically enough, everyone believes in some form of truth. We demand truth in our labeling of our consumer goods, don't we not? Whether that is fattening or whether that is too much sugar or salt or good or bad, we demand and vow to tell the truth in our court systems. We expect witnesses in our court of law to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. We demand truth from our doctors. Tell me, doctor, am I dying? Am I going to get better? We expect truth from our politicians. I wonder what they'll say about Brexit. Let's not go there. Even liars, ironically enough, resent to be lied to. It's a contradiction, isn't it? But when we talk about absolute truth, a truth which is total, which is complete, supreme and ultimate, then we have a denial of such truth, just as Pilate did with Jesus. But we have multiple other truths or claims. For instance, did you know humanism says man is the truth? Pragmatism says whatever works is the truth. Pluralism says everyone has a piece of the truth. Relativism says each situation determines the truth. Mysticism says intuition is the truth. Skepticism says no one can know the truth. Existentialism says self-determination is the truth. Secularism says this present world is the truth. And positivism says whatever man confesses, that surely must be the truth. This, my friends, is the world in which we live. A world that rejects the claim of God, and yet we dare believe in the wisdom, or dare say the foolishness of man. What is truth? What is truth? My friends, there is a reality to truth. As Jesus stood trial that day, he affirmed that there is truth. Furthermore, he informed Pilate that his reason for coming into the world was to teach and affirm the truth. And by this statement, Jesus claimed to have an exclusive monopoly or control on the truth. In fact, Jesus affirmed that he himself is the truth. All truth, my friend, is in Jesus Christ, who is the very incarnation and the embodiment of truth. I want to just very briefly give you these bullet points, if I may. The first thing I want to say is that truth comes from God. Truth is divine. All truth originates with God. Truth does not come from man. It is not derived from this world. Nor does it arise from the collected thoughts of a society and culture. It is not determined by the majority opinion. On the contrary, truth comes down from God above. As the Bible says, God the Father is the God of truth. God the Son is the truth. And then God the Holy Spirit, as the Gospel of John says, is the Spirit of truth. All three, the Trinity, all of them, one and the same, is the truth. It is the self-revelation of God, the self-disclosure of the mind and the nature and the will of God. The author of all truth is God. He is the sole determiner of it, the supreme governor of truth, and the highest arbitrator of truth. And in this sense, God is the final judge of all truth. But then the second thing is that truth reigns supremely. Truth is absolute. This is to say, truth reigns as the highest authority in determining all matters. Everything yields to the truth. You see, in this sense, truth is sovereign. It is exclusive, not inclusive. It draws a sharp line between what is and what is not true. Truth makes fine distinctions between what is right and what is wrong. It is never both and. It is always either or. Truth is never relative, arbitrary, or conditional. Truth outside of it is false. Everything outside of it is false by definition, while everything inside the truth is what God says it is. But by contrast, the Bible says that Satan is a liar and the father of lies. He is the god of this age and the ruler of the world and the prince of the power of the air. And this evil world system is filled with his lies. Ultimately, there is only two fathers in the world with two families. The first family is made up of those who belong to God, and they alone hear the truth from him. But the second family has the devil as their father, and they reject God's truth just as Pilate did. I wonder which family do we belong to this morning? Third, truth is a fact. It is concrete, black and white, and narrowly defined. It is never blurred. The lines of distinction, it never speaks in ambiguous terms. Truth is never vague or fuzzy. It is razor sharp. It focuses like a laser beam. It is explicit, exact, and crystal clear in its meaning. Truth is factual, rational, and tangible. It is based not upon subjective feeling, but upon objective facts that God is and that Christ is the Savior. But truth also stands together. Every piece of truth perfectly fits together into one body of divinity. Truth never contradicts itself. It never at odds with itself. Truth is consistent. What God says to one person is what he says to everybody else. Remember what I said to the children this morning. God never tells lies. It was Francis Schaeffer who once said, Christianity is not just a lot of bits and pieces. There is a beginning and an end, a whole system of truth. And this system is the only system that will stand up to all the questions that are presented to us as we face the reality of existence. My friends, truth never changes. What was true in the Garden of Eden is true throughout the whole of the Old Testament. It remains true in the time of Christ, the time of the church, and it remains true even to this very present hour. The truth never ceases to be. It remains true from one generation to the next. What is truth today never becomes untrue tomorrow. As the psalmist declares, forever, our Lord, your word is firmly fixed in the heavens. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of God will stand forever. And two more things for you to go away with, to think about. Truth makes demands, my friends. It is authoritative. What God has spoken in his written word is supremely authoritative. Nothing can overrule the truth. You may not like it. You may not like what it says. You may disagree with it. You may not believe in God for that matter. That is up to you. That's fine. But regardless how you feel, my friend, regardless what your view might be, you and I will never be able to get rid of the reality that the truth is based on God and it demands something from us. Truth places a responsibility upon us to act. It demands, it has the right to make forceful demands upon our lives. Jesus gave Pilate a choice that day. Pilate made his. We have a choice to make today. The word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword. It pierces to the divisions of soul and of spirit, of joint and of marrow. and discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart. But the final thing is this: truth determines destinies. Truth will determine your eternal destiny. Your relationship to the truth will chart the course of your life in this world and the next. It defines how you will love your spouse, how you will raise your children, and how you will direct your business. If you're a person who entertains the lie, that is the kind of person you are. And that is the kind of person you will become. And that is the judgment you will receive. But if the truth of God dwells within your heart, you will be a man and a woman of truth, following the truth and living for the truth. Pontius Pilate finally rejected the truth when he mocked, "What is truth?" Jesus said, "For this purpose I was born, and for this purpose I have come into the world, to bear witness to the truth." He is the truth. Do you believe that? And if you do, what are you going to do about it?